This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3785 for Friday, the 3rd of February, 2023. Today's show is entitled, Hacking Boba Bubble Tapioca Pearls Fail. It is hosted by Operator and is about 55 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is, Hacking Boba Bubble Tapioca Pearls Fail.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio with the host, Oscar, here. So today we're going to be talking about, in the kitchen, hacking up some boba or tapioca pearls, or kind of explaining that. So if you're interested in how to do cheap tapioca pearls or cheap boba, or figuring all that out, I'm going to go on a little adventure. So I went to market here in Atlanta, the Buford market, that's massive market, got all kinds of crazy stuff in there. And of course bubble tea is what, $8 for, you know, a fancy bubble tea place or boba. And we got my child likes the popping boba, which is not to say the tapioca, so that's what he likes. And I got a big vat of it, looks like 1 pound or 2 pounds. And it comes already pre-made. It's already in popping boba. So the popping boba is just an outside, I don't even know what it's made of, like a glucose something or other. And then it's wrapped in some kind of flavored juice, essentially. It's just straight up sugar. And I don't know of any way you can make these, obviously, because it's like a self-contained little thing. So he likes those. I'm keeping those, setting those aside, and I'll make him some kind of smoothie with them or something in them. What I bought at the store was a matcha, which is a kind of powder tea. Couldn't even tell you where it's supposed to come from. But the matcha is quite a mess. It's a bit like powdered makeup eyeliner. It feels and looks a lot like green eyeliner, and it does operate like green eyeliner. So I've tried matcha, and I like it. It's kind of easy to prepare, and it's very small footprint. But it's a mess, and if you get a tiny little, you know, put a powder somewhere, it just explodes and goes all over the place, and you know, you turn green, your fingers are green, anything you touch turns green. You know, same thing with like oatmeal and like things like applesauce for whatever reason. So I've got this, went grabbed this kit that's basically like for kids. It's a boba kit, and essentially what it has is, it looks like a powdered milk. And of course, all the ingredients are, you know, all the box is all different language, right? But this one is mostly English. Actually, this is all English. Jade basket. So the milk tea is, it says matcha milk tea powder, which might have some powdered milk in there. And it has some matcha in there, which is the powdered tea. Now, it's got mostly sugar in the powder. It is 72% at 36 grams added sugar. So this is like straight up solid sugar powder with maybe some little bit of milk powder in it, if I had to guess. Now the boba is your traditional black or dark boba, or boba that's been sweetened with, this doesn't have a lot, but they'll do brown sugar to kind of give it some flavor, or else it ends up being, tastes like nothing. So that's your traditional tapioca, which is apparently some kind of tapioca. If you've ever had tapioca pudding, same thing that's in boba, made from tuber of the cassava plant. So that's tapioca. And I've always liked it, and I've always liked boba, or bubble tea, whatever. There's another thing called sago, which is S-A-G-O, and that's different. It's made from the pith of sago palm trees used in sweet and savory dishes, including pudding. So I don't know the difference between the two, but I think the tapioca pearls, or tapioca balls is what they'll call them, or boba, is more popular. So I got a big old, a pound of dry completely dry tapioca flour water, 14 ounces. And I tried cooking it and I didn't read the directions or look at anything online. Now these are hard, rock hard. They're called tapioca pearls. This is made by Bells and Flowers brand, which comes up on the internet. They are extremely hard. I mean, you can hear me tapping them on the ground. It's like a ball of rice. Now these are hard to cook. It's really cooks a lot like rice. You can overcook it. You can undercook it. You can kind of ruin it. So with this set, I went through this entire bag of 14 ounces. I've got maybe another, this has looked like 3 ounces, 4 ounces if that. I've got a little bit of that left, and this is the hard stuff. So essentially what you do is you cook it, and then you cook it with water, let it boil up, and you cook it about halfway. And they're white and hard on the outside when you get them. I guess they're kind of compressed and it's solid. And what you want to see is these solid tapioca pearls. You don't want the ones that are all broken up because then you won't have perfect little circles. So what happens with these is the first time I cooked them, I didn't read the directions. I literally was there for like 45 minutes to an hour waiting for them to cook. And I just figured, you know, I'd make up with the rules as it went along. And then of course I realized you cook them, let them set, rinse them out, rinse them off in kind of a cool water, rinse them off, let them sit from, you know, anywhere from 4 hours to overnight. You're basically trying to let the tapioca absorb some of the moisture on the outside. So you end up with a hard core and then the outside is the clear. And when you're at the end, you want a clear, perfectly circular object when you're done, and it's supposed to be jelly like, not too hard. What I ended up with was too loose. So anyways, I cooked them the first time. I cooked them, I didn't cook them right, and I tossed them out. The second time I read the directions and watched the videos, and I overcooked them the first time. And if you overcook them, the hard core will crack in the middle and you'll end up with it'll be fine, but then when you go to cook it the second time after you've cooled it for 4 hours, I think it's really 4 hours or so, I was actually getting good results after just letting it sit for 4 hours and after cleaning it, cooking it the first time. So that what happened the second time I made it is that I overcooked it the first time, and I guess the inside core will kind of crack from getting too hot. And you don't want that, because then when you cook it the second time, it starts splitting apart and you have no pearls. You just have chunks of jelly shit. So you want that to cook it right the first time, let it sit, rinse it out. I use a wire mesh that I use for rice to rinse the starch off of rice. That's essentially what this is. It's kind of like a flour starch, compressed starch. They have tutorials online how to make your own, but we're not even going to try to do that. But that's what I ended up with this. That's kind of what the whole thing started, was my wife giving me these tapioca pearls and going down a rabbit hole. So I ended up coming back. Let me jump back to this kit. This kit has boba arti in it with the, looks like brown sugar, the traditional brown sugar. And we're going to throw it in the microwave, what it says, for 45 seconds after mixing it up with hot water. All right, so we've cooked this, or heated it up essentially again. I guess the purpose of heating it up again is to maybe break apart these tapioca pearls that are already kind of glued together. So now we've got kind of this warm, gooey, very thick, not very thick, but pretty thick matcha milk thing. It's pretty sweet, but not as sweet as I thought for 30 whatever grams of sugar. 36 grams of sugar. So we're gonna dump this in a nice one of those Yeti cup, but I would use the off brand Walmart brand of vacuum thingies, Work Trail or whatever they call it. They're good. The thing about buying the off brand vacuum seal things, you gotta watch the tops. The lids are the key. You got to go through and make sure the Ozark, is it Ozark? Jesus, hold on. Yeah, there's not even any markings on this thing. I think it's Ozark Trail, but you got to check the lid. So when you go buy them at Walmart, pull the lid off, make sure you got a good seal. Because what'll happen is you get the lid and you get home and it doesn't have that seal on there. So I use a Yeti cup I found in the street. If you can buy a pack of silicone bubble tea straws or the big thick straws, those are great. They're reusable. You don't have to waste plastic. We keep all our straws and kind of use them as much as we can until we get rid of them, especially the big thick ones for shakes and stuff. So anyways, I'm going to pour this in with some ice and spare you the noise with that. All right, so we've got our ice in the freezer. I don't have a feed going to the freezer ice. I've wanted to, but my wife won't let me. We have a reverse osmosis system, which you can get those for, I think I did a HPR on it, but you can get those for like $300. And then you just buy the filters and make sure you buy the right filters, the right microns. It's kind of a mess, but I'm pouring this in here. I'm going to put a crap ton of extra water in here. I don't like really sweet juices or teas. So I'm going to pour a fair amount of water in this guy. I mean, it's overpriced. It's called J Basket. Picked it up at the, again, farmer's market. Some of this boba is actually floating, which is interesting. I might get pockets of air in it. So what else I have here is, so I've got matcha powder, green tea powder. It's pretty expensive, but then a little bit goes a long way. This one's in a weird pull top can. I actually couldn't find any more at the market. There's probably a different question or a different section that has more choices. But it's not cheap, but it gives you a lot, goes a long way. That's why I was saying it's very compact. So this little tiny can will last forever. You can buy like fancy matcha stirring devices. I just use like a plastic fork or something that's like a whisk-esque type of thing. If you try to use a spoon or something you would logically think would work, and no, it's a powdery, very thin powdery mess, and it tends to kind of clump up. So you want it dark, you want to kind of blend it. Old school, if you remember, none of you, the old school, what was it, the blenders they used to give you with the Slim Fast with the little hand blenders. That would actually kind of be the way to do it if you wanted to do it electronically, but just an old fork that's kind of whiskey. I use that to stir up the matcha. But the other ones I have here are these interesting, about two different kinds. Green tea flavor, tapioca pearl, which both of these are 5-minute tapioca pearls. This green tea one is same thing. It's on the outside, it has a powder, which I'm assuming is kind of like the flavoring of it. Tachio Sparks, guar gum, green tea powder. So they put green tea powder on the outside. They half cook the tapioca, right, to a mushy kind of state almost. It's still spongy. So it's almost like they half cook it, and then, or maybe they have some kind of process to whatever, and then they let it dry to probably pretty hard, and then they put their powder, whatever their flavoring is, on the outside of it. And then you're supposed to put it in a, I can't even read these directions. Okay, they got directions on here, 2-3 minutes, whatever. So it's a boil, 1 cup tapioca, add tapioca slowly boiling in hot pot, stir, floats the water surface, cover, cook to 2-3 minutes, turn off, then simmer around another 2-3 minutes, adjust soft tapioca to the personal taste. So yeah, the longer you cook this guy, the more mushy it's gonna get. So I got like a very small, not a very small, but 8-ounce bag here, and then this massive 2-pound chunk of the tapioca. I would imagine if you buy the hard tapioca, you get a lot more for your bang for your buck. What you're buying when you buy the 5-minute is you're buying time, and then you're buying the water, essentially. Yeah, tapioca starch water. So most of what you're buying is water, tapioca starch water. So you're buying pre-cooked. It's just like instant rice, essentially, boba. So we're going to do that here in a second. First, I'm gonna actually my, which happens with most of the normal size tapioca pearls, these silicon straws are too big or too small. So you gotta, I don't know how you check the gauge of a straw before you buy it, but you wanna make sure you get, maybe you can have like boba, silicon boba tea straw or something. So if I do get into that, I'll get some more thicker straws because this straw is too short for my Yeti cup. So I look like an idiot shoving my face inside of a cup. It's good. The tapioca pearls at first were still warm, so you wanna let it sit and get kind of ice cold. It's pretty spot on. The bubble is a little mushy for my taste. If you go to a fancy place, it won't be as mushy. But for at home things, something fun to do with the kids, if you like it. Kids love it. I love it. It's good stuff. So I'm going to fire up something. I'm going to use these colored tapioca pearls. Rainbow Boba Hot Train Child, which I guess is, let me see the company. Oh, EFA brand, big red outside labeling. So I'm going to try these colored tapioca pearls, which don't have any flavor. It's just starch. They just put starch on the outside. Weird. So anyways, I guess to keep them from sticking together, because they're wet, you're buying water, so they put the tapioca, they have cook it, and then they let it dry, and then they put the, I'll bet they put the starch on, they probably got like a corn flour, or a corn starch to keep it. I'm assuming once you open one of these, there's a timer, so we got 2 pounds of tapioca pearls to go through pretty quickly. I'm actually going to try to eat one of these, or at least put it in my mouth. It does have tons of starch on the outside. And it is like a chewing a, if you've ever bit down on a high bounce ball, it's a little chewier than that. Hard, chewy. And they look, yeah, it's just like the first time you cook it. Inside, the inside is a hard white substance. So this is first time around cooked tapioca pearls. So at this point, you've saved yourself 4 hours, give or take, 5 hours of work. So if you want to save yourself 5 hours of work or wait time, it's really 15 minutes of work, 20 minutes of work. You get the ready in 5 minutes. But it's still, again, I wonder how long these are going to last when they're sitting out. They're vacuum sealed. So once you, whatever, you're on a timer, you can actually reuse your do not eat packets. I have a good pound, if not pound and a half, of the do not eat packets. Make sure they're for food or the right kind. But a lot of times you'll get a big piece of furniture or something like that. You're not supposed to use those for food. But I think I got a massive pack from like a piece of furniture or something like that. And what you can do is rinse them. And I'm talking about the do not eat packets. That's the silicon. Silica. They have carbon ones, so be careful. Don't accidentally dump your carbon ones in with your whatever. You'll have to pick them out forever. So anyways, that's how you reuse your silica packs. So just start collecting them. You'll be surprised how fast you'll get like a pound of the silica packs if you just start keeping an eye out for them. So what I'll do is I'll probably put them in a bag with some of the silica packets I've got, and you cook them in the oven for about like 125 something. If they're from like a piece of furniture or they smell funny or they smell like boxes or whatever, because they, you know, obviously they absorb smells essentially, and water or so they'll smell sometimes. I've done ones with jerky. That's usually what I do when I was doing the dehydration stuff. So ones with jerky will smell like beef jerky. And if you try to use them with anything else, whatever you have is going to smell like beef jerky. So what I'll do is put those in there with a seal them with a Ziploc bag, and then I'll throw that into a sealed Tupperware container, and hopefully I should get some more time from these pre-cooked tapioca pearls. So anyways, I'm gonna fire these up, try to read the directions, and see if I can get some 5-minute tapioca pearls and see what happens. So I've got the leftover tapioca kind of forming vacuum sealed, just straw down inside of a plastic bag, gallon sized bag with my reusable. I use old pill bottles, drill holes in them, and then I put the silica beads in there. So now I've got sort of poor man's vacuum seal on the leftover tapioca pearls. So I've got rolling boil water here, and I'm going to throw my half a cup. I'm only doing half a cup because they want 10-to-1 ratio on the water. Well, not necessarily probably, but essentially what you want is a lot of water. You don't want a small amount of water, at least with the second stage. But anyways, we'll see what goes on there. Yeah, so I've got my about a minute more on the tapioca that's cooking on medium heat. It's weird because they want you to cook it till it floats, which I don't think the hard tapioca was floating when I was doing it, but I think I wasn't cooking it right way, and I didn't have like a rolling boil. So anyways, we're gonna make our matcha milk here. We don't have fancy milk. We have 1% milk, and like things like 1% milk or milk, whatever, it's not necessarily actual, just adding water. You know, you say, oh, this is skim milk, it's just watered down milk. No, it's not really the same thing. So you can't take like creamer or heavy creamer and just add water to it and make that skim milk. That's not really how it works. You can get most of the way there, but so anyway, we got some low fat 1% milk, which is probably not the best to be mixing for flavor wise to make our matcha milk. The directions for the tapioca said to use to make honey, to add honey. So brown sugar cooked for a few seconds. Excuse me. Now we're supposed to, I think, drain it, let it sit. I don't even know. I don't do directions well, so that's why I've gone through a whole bag of pearls already. Turn off heat, let simmer for another 5 minutes, adjust time, blah, blah, blah. So, we're gonna do no heat. I'm actually gonna grab one. 3 minutes. Yeah, it's essentially like cooking rice. It's an art form. I wanna taste one, see what it's like. It's already mushy. Like, it's done. I would go as far as to say that I need to pull it now, which is odd. Oh yeah, this is, I mean, we live in a fairly wet environment, and who knows how long these have been sitting there, but it's already pretty mushy. So I think these are ready to go. Okay, so yeah, they are kind of chewy on the inside. So on second thought, I'm gonna let them cook again. Unfortunately, I've already poured out the water and cooled them down. But really, I don't think it matters too much. I don't necessarily think you can overcook them per se, unless you cook them too fast and they crack. But yeah, they're definitely chewy in the middle. Like the boba that's here pre-made is, it's chewy, but it doesn't like stick to your teeth. I'm using a little fryer strainer, very thin, like for frying. I use a lot to, I'm doing like my, I'll fry anything that's fried, breaded. I'll use this to scrape out the bits and little bits and pieces that start to get burned, so you don't end up with a smoky kitchen. I use it to kind of skim very fine mesh, like however many, but I use that to scrape out oil But I'm using it to pick out the balls here. They're not clear because they're colored. These are white. So the white one should be clear. They're not. But yeah, they're like chewy. All right. I can't chew them in half, whereas the pre-made stuff, I guess it's kind of the same. Really hard to tell. It tastes different because it's not covered in sugar, right? I feel like I'm going crazy. Yeah, they're definitely chewier, like a noodle that needs to be cooked more. I like chicken to my tea. I can't chew it in half. So I guess that's undercooked. But I'd rather have undercooked than super mushy. These tend to kind of fall apart, the pre-made ones here. Which I guess is more accurate. Anyway, sorry. We got the matcha, which, again, is a flippin' mess. With extreme caution. This little can is like a little pop-top can, and it comes in a bag. And this bag is full of matcha powder, which, it'll last a long time. It's just a mess, and I quit using it because it's such a pain to get the mix right, and see, yep, I just spilt a bunch of it on the table, the kitchen table here. I mean, it is straight up whatever. I'm gonna fill the bag up with water, get some of that yummy matcha. So I'm gonna try to make. You're supposed to mix it with hot water, I think. The matcha. I don't know if you can mix it with cold brew. I mean, it's a powder, so it's essentially whatever. So we're gonna skip doing anything hot with this. The only reason you would need heat is to melt the sugar. But I'm gonna get my sugar from something else. I haven't decided what that's gonna be yet, but yeah, see it clumps. Of course you don't see, it clumps up. The matcha powder. So you gotta, it's just not fun to play with. It doesn't take, a little bit goes a long way. I like my stuff pretty, yeah, it's cold water, it's not gonna wanna, lukewarm water is not gonna wanna mix the powder very well. But I'll spare you the noise of that and mix this up, add some sugar and water in there and see what happens. All right, so I've got my bubble tea or tapioca balls, in theory, finished. They're still sitting in the water. I mixed up some of this matcha powder, and I added a tangerine for a little bit of flavor, whatnot. It looks like I got the matcha mixed in there, and put a little bit more. That's a lot. All right, so I've got my added matcha in here and flipping. Mess. I got some fancy, one of the kids' fancy juice boxes. I'm gonna steal some sugar from there. Organic, whatnot. Oh yeah, this is a mess. So that's gonna give me a lot of my sugar. I think. So I've got a lot of sugar. I should have just done straight sugar because just I don't know what I'm gonna do with that much water, but whatever. I'm not gonna put a ton of milk in it. The matcha I like to mix up until it's kind of like, I mix it hard till it's almost till it's kind of foamy. Yeah, I kind of had the color of this matcha milk, but the sweetness is not there, and this juice is very good lemonade. So I've got like a lemonade, tea, green kind of mess. It's a bit bitter. It's got grape juice in it. So I'll probably set this aside and try again without using juice. All right, so I've cooked the, or just let the boba stuff simmer for a while longer, and it's still kind of chewy in the middle. But I guess that's what you get. Maybe the 5 minute you get more of a chewy, whereas this pre-made stuff, I guess it's the same. It's just hard to tell when it's still warm. It's cooked. I cooked it for, it said 3 to 5 minutes. I've cooked it for a good 15 minutes now, or simmered it at least for a good 15 minutes. But I've kind of been pulling it and checking it and pulling it and checking it. They're very starchy. Now my idea is here, I took a skim milk, warmed it up. You don't want to warm it too much because then you get nasty burnt milk. And a fair amount of the matcha and a fair amount of sugar, obviously. And I've got what looks like this very odd, very green, which I like the coffee or the tea flavor more. So I put more matcha in it than anything else. So we're going to see what this feels like with some of the tapioca pearls in it. They're not flavored at all. But that gave me an idea to basically try to make instant matcha milk, whatever. So it would be just add milk. But anyways, I'm going to do a taste test here. I can find my... Where's my straw? So here's the new stuff. Pretty spot on. I can definitely taste the milk, the actual milk. It's got the stronger green tea flavor. It's not just straight sugar. I don't really need the tapioca pearls flavor, because all that sugar is just in with the, and it's almost done. That's definitely better than the pre-made. The pre-made stuff, well, it's been sitting in ice water for a while. The pearls, the tapioca pearls for the pre-made seem to kind of break up easier. Whereas these don't want to break up. Let's see if I can grab one. My idea here is, in a second, yeah, these are harder. Chewier still. I'm not sure what the chewier means, if I just need to boil them again. But it's like you touch the, they're still even warm from being in there. They're not clear at all, which when I did the hard, straight up hard ones, they're clear. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll boil them again and see what happens. I did let them float and all that, but they're like super chewy. And that might be the result of, you know, these 5 minute whatever. They're not gonna, we're not ever gonna get not chewy. I don't know, it's weird. But we're gonna move on to our next experiment. I'm going to try to make instant green tea matcha balls, and we'll see what kind of mess we can make there. But before we do that, we're going to try basil seed watermelon flavor drink. It looks like ants with, you know, starch around them. Honeybee, I guess, is the name of the company. It's English on the label, but yeah, basil seed. This is watermelon flavor, product of Thailand. Well, that's weird. Looks like tapioca, almost like a, it's the size of a strawberry seed. And it tastes like tapioca pearls, but when you bite down, it's almost like eating a strawberry seed, but not as hard. Kind of a mushy thing. I think some are stuck in my teeth. This would be a good thing for kids. Because you could tell them, you know, at like a Halloween party, you have like ant water or something. Let's say that it's ants. Let them drink it. It's mostly, I mean, this is almost syrup. It is extremely thick. 64%, 32 grams of sugar. 33 grams of sugar total in this one bottle. 290 milliliters, so basically 300 milliliters. Oh, that is... I'm already over for my sugar intake for the day. So it's very sugary. Maybe I'll use it with like a blended, I don't know what. That is way too much sugar. Anyways, I'm going to put you on pause. I'm going to mix up some of these tapioca pearls and some matcha and something super sugary. Brown sugar, probably, and see what happens. I cook it for a bit. All right, so I'm taking you over to the stove here. I just have brown sugar, light brown sugar. If you want like an earthier taste, brown sugar is I think just something sugar and molasses or whatever. Raw sugar with molasses. This is already almost burning. Wow, that was quick. If you just put sugar in a pan, it's going to want to like caramelize and all that craziness. Are we burning? We are close to burning. That was quick. Like, I went to go grab the tablet, or whatever this thing is, the 2-in-1, and it was like instantly whatever. So you got to wash it. So I've got my melted light brown sugar. It's almost about to burn. Did it smell burnt? Stick my tongue on it. So there's our sugar. I could try to kind of cook this down to make it thicker, but it's straight sugar, so there's not really anything to cook down. So anyways, I'm going to add a fair amount. I would say, I don't know, a tablespoon, because this would probably, I'm mixing up the rest of the half a cup of Tokyo. The leftover, because I only put a few in the pot. Well, I only put a few in the drink that I made. So I've got like half a cup of tapioca pearls left. So I would say that's enough for like two batches. So I want to put probably at least a tablespoon of this matcha powder in here. So it's light brown sugar and about a tablespoon of matcha powder. I had to put a lot more than I thought. I thought a little bit went a little bit longer away than I thought. So this is some kind of weird voodoo magic I'm making. Oh, smells is very potent with the matcha because it's basically compressed, you know, ground up tea leaves or whatever. It is very potent. I did a P.I. Chang's Mongolian beef, and you get these things, they're called, it's not a rice noodle, it's not an egg noodle, it's like some kind of other thing. I think it's rice based. Let me look. Yeah, so this is a mung bean, M-U-N-G bean noodle, and it looks exactly like the egg noodle stuff, but when you make the Mongolian beef, this mung bean you put in a hot fry. So when you're doing frying Mongolian beef, I use a wok and I fry everything in that. I buy a big vat of peanut oil and I fry my flank steak in there and I make beautiful, yummy flank steak. I use big chunks because it takes forever for the to slice it into thin chunks. But I throw it in there 2 seconds. As soon as I throw it in there, I take it out because it cooks extremely fast when I have it to a smoking heat the oil up to almost about to burst into flames. And I throw the meat in there and trying to kill myself. But yeah, before I do that, I'll make the, usually if I remember, I'll make the, do the mung bean first. And it makes like a styrofoamy, basically a tasteless styrofoam crunchy thing. And then you soak it with soy sauce, and my kid will just eat mung bean. It has no nutritional value at all whatsoever. But when you add the salt to it, it's just like salt and some sugar for the soy sauce. But anyways, you put the mung bean in there and you get this crunch. You fry up the little onions, green onions, put those in there. Anyways, I was doing Mongolian beef, and now my matcha sauce stuff here is turned into candy at this point. I guess I can take it back up, because I was mumbling and trying to find the mung bean. Now I have this hard tar substance that I'm probably just going to add some water to try to rejuvenate it. Just a tiny bit of water to get it to, so I can mix the, we're already too hot. Wow, are we burning already? Jesus. We have gas heat here, so I just think it's just a ball of candy, essentially what I've made here. I guess I should have done this with the tapioca pearls in there. So now I just had a ball of stuff attached to the whisk. I was hoping for more of a liquid. So now I gotta add some water and kind of try to boil this out into more of a paste and not burn it at the same time. I cook like I do anything. I cook, I'll kind of have read the directions, I'll kind of look at the ingredients, and then I'll add whatever, because usually the ingredients aren't what I want anyways. I usually want more of something, or more of some spice, or less of something else, so I kind of have read the directions, which, especially when you're making anything like a cookie, or anything that requires, like, getting a candy or a fudge or whatever, that usually ends up horribly. Yeah, now I have just rock. So I'm going to start over and see what happens. All right, so yeah, that was burnt. I burnt the brown sugar. And that made everything else go downhill. I effectively made a burnt matcha candy, which, other than the burnt part, it's actually kind of a cool idea. Anyways, we'll track back. What? Something tasty. Anyways, I'm heating my light brown sugar back up. Before I started recording, I was sharpening my knives. I think we're pretty much set as far as knife sets go. But I got fancy these Shun Japanese snake knives that are like super fancy, but they're very, the metal is a weaker metal. So the idea is that you can, like, you know, cut crazy sushi with it, or do insane, super, super sharp. The problem is it's like a softer metal. And it gets dull very quickly. The idea is apparently, like a German knife or whatever, is going to be a stronger steel. It's not going to be you're not going to get it as sharp as a softer steel, obviously. But it's going to be a workhorse. It's going to last you longer. So we had these super fancy knives that we're like chopping up, you know, carrots with or whatever. And it's hard. It's hard to keep them sharp. It's hard work. I got a sharpening stone. It's like 6,000, 3,000. And it's a skill. It's hard work. I mean, when you think you got it, you don't, and there's beveled edges. So if you're going to get a knife, try to get one that's the flat blade. I don't know what that one's called. The sushi knife is completely flat. You don't have to worry about curves when you're sharpening it. I mean, it's completely wrong knife to use in anything. It's not the right knife, but I don't know, man. It's hard. It's really hard to sharpen these with a curved blade. We got a utility knife from them too, but you send it in to get it sharpened because it's got teeth on it. The cool thing about utility knives, it's like all the knives that are on the infomercials, which you kids don't know about, would, you know, somebody cutting open a can with a knife. Well, yeah, it's basically a saw because it's got saw blades on it. The cool thing about those is they stay sharp longer because if you were doing something stupid with them, you're dulling the tip of the cutting, the tip of the saw. But under the peaks is the actual sharpness of what actually cuts the thing. So, you know, potato. But the utility knife, my wife likes, she kind of goes through stages of using it. But it needs to be sent in because it's like basically round. It's starting to lose its utility-ness. But I think it's free, or you just pay shipping, or whatever. When I got my second Shun knife, I had to send it in because I stuck it in a plastic cutting board. And then when I wasn't even doing anything, I was cutting up watermelon. And I stuck it in the plastic board accidentally, and it, since it's so sharp, it went way down in there. And then I put pressure on it to go down at an angle, and I hear ping, and a piece of metal broke off somewhere in the watermelon. So I had to throw the whole watermelon away because somewhere there's a piece of steel, piece of knife in the watermelon. So nobody got watermelon that day. I don't know if I told anybody, but that was the plan to do watermelon. I had to end up, I think I told my wife, she was in the same room, but you know, sometimes I don't tell those stories because sometimes people don't need to know how stupid you are. But that's why we're here, to make mistakes and learn from them. But yeah, I'm not heating up this brown sugar fast enough. I'm rambling. But yeah, get yourself a nice knife. Get yourself a nice knife and a nice sharpener, like a whetstone, and start playing with knives. It's fun. I like it. It's nice to have a good, sharp knife that you know is going to cut stuff and not like be a problem. But I mean, as pain as it is to like have a knife that won't cut a tomato, for example, it's hard. It's just as hard to keep them sharp. I mean, so at the end of the day, like, I don't know, it's potato. It's a lot of work, but you know, something to have, some hobby. But I mean, if you do get them sharp, the Sendoku or whatever knife that I have, I keep it sharp on the flat surface. The end is a different story, but I'll keep that one sharp, and that one will cut a tomato. It will cut into stuff. Peppers are also a good gauge of how sharp your knife is. You can do the whole paper thing and try and cut. I don't really try to do that. What I just do is I use it, and if it's way off, it won't cut into a pepper, or it won't cut into a tomato. Let's see what I got. Got a tangerine. I just used the whetstone on this guy, and I actually got the tip somewhat. Am I working again?
Jesus Christ.
My brown sugar is cooking. Hopefully not burning. I'm going to put water in here because I'm trying making candy again. Yeah, it's just not too hot all. Too hot too quick. I mean, that's the whole thing. I don't have a rock yet. But I had it on low heat so that I could watch it not burn. And then I got distracted and started talking about some other random shit. It's not a candy. I have the heat off, so I'm trying to recover from this mess. It's starting to turn into a candy. I'm gonna add the matcha while it's not candy. What I was looking at online is they were saying don't even let the sugar melt all the way before you add the balls. They were saying, you know, you don't have to actually cook all the brown sugar out first. So we have some weird looking green, brown green blob here. It's got a crap ton of whatever in it. I think I'm gonna throw the tapioca pearls in here, sorry. This is a Samson portable mic thing, USB mic. You can plug it into a phone, whatever. Oh, man, I need some water. You can plug it into a phone, you'll get a little bit of a... Actually, this is not doing really what I wanted it to do. Essentially, what I want is a matcha bowl Tokyo or tapioca pearls, but now I've just got what looks like candy mixed with tapioca pearls. I mean, you can even hear the crunchiness of the whatever. So let me try and drain this and see if I can recover the tapioca pearls and see if I can make some. Okay, after that last failed attempt, I ended up doing the brown sugar and matcha and just kind of mixing it together and kind of mulling it all out into a good mixture. And then I added just the tapioca pearls. So the idea would be to keep this in the refrigerator and keep it in like a thing of Tupperware. And I've got just ice and milk. So I'm gonna put my milk in here and pretend that I've had this in the refrigerator for a couple days. So I've got ice, milk, I'm gonna add the idea. Probably not enough matcha, but the idea is I'm just gonna add my, I'm probably gonna do just regular sugar instead of the brown sugar. It's a bit too molasses, like what? Not really what I'm going for. But yeah, the idea there is, I guess maybe I should do the ice after I've already mixed it with the milk. But we should end up with some green whatnot. Now, it's kind of goopy. I'm hoping it all just didn't end up on the bottom. I mean, it's got kind of the right color. It needs more matcha, of course. Some of the sugar stuck to the straw. So I guess like the instructions that come with the kit, probably mix it with warm milk and then do the ice, just like whatever. I have another batch of tapioca balls, so I'll probably maybe try that. That's pretty spot on. And the tapioca balls are just kind of sitting. They kind of cooked a little more. Kind of when you take a steak out and it cooks. I mean, it's still chewy, but it comes apart and it doesn't stick to my teeth or anything. Yeah, I would say add more matcha and not use brown sugar next time. And you just get pre-made, you know, warm up your milk, mix in the matcha, throw the ice on there, and you've got instant tapioca, whatever, boba tea, boba green tea. Yeah. Anyways, I've been going on for almost an hour now. Hopefully, Rue's silence will remove a good 20 minutes of rambling. But yeah, I'd say I've pretty much gone through everything I'm going to go through. It's just expensive. He likes the top stuff. Like I said, it's a 1 pound for like $9. I honestly think it's the same price on Amazon for the popping boba. So if you're, you know, if you're going, if you're with somebody and they don't, they tried it and they don't like the tapioca, which my wife can't stand tapioca. It's called popping tapioca or popping boba. Let's see, £2, $19.99. So it's the same price online as it is at my local market. They probably buy it in bulk and make a little bit of money. So, but yeah, we'll try that. I'm pretty much done. I hope you learned something. I hope you didn't listen to this whole thing. Anyways, what I got coming up is WLED, which is whole house year-round lights. And what else is I going to do? Stable Diffusion AI stuff, which kind of might be not safe for work or safe for work or whatever you want to call it. So I got those two coming. No, just not today. I got to clean up all this mess. Right.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.